Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I had the opportunity to brag on you all this week to some friends of mine. We were talking about some of the challenges of preaching, and I said to them, I feel so fortunate to have so many faithful people in my congregation that I can preach about hard things, both hard as in content and hard as is how do we make sense of this, that I can preach this to you, that I don't have to dumb it down because you are interested and you are thoughtful and you are faithful. And so it is my joy to preach for you every single Sunday. So we are nearing the end of our summer sermon series on Holy Communion. And I think it's safe to say that it is no secret that we love to eat here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Right? Whether it's a donut and coffee breakfast or a sandwich lunch with an ice cream bar on rally day, whether it's a Wednesday evening meal for Advent or Lent, maybe it's a reception after worship with cake or cookies and nuts and some of Gaynell's mints, whether it's an agape meeting or a brotherhood meeting, or you know my favorite, a potluck. The fact is that we love food. And not only do we love food, but we love eating together and gathering with one another around the table. And we come by it honest, because not only is it part of our Lutheran heritage, but it is part of who we are as followers of Jesus, because the church has been eating together since Jesus created her on the day of Pentecost. And even before that, throughout his whole ministry, Jesus ate with his followers and with tax collectors and with sinners. In Luke's gospel, one of the very first things that Jesus did after he rose from the dead was eat with his followers. And when he did, he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. And so loving food and loving to eat together, it's just part of who we are as followers of Jesus. And so I'm sure it's of no surprise to any of you that Jesus instituted this holy meal in the context of a meal, in the middle of the last Passover meal that he shared with his disciples. He took the bread and the wine and told them that they were his body and blood, and that they were to have this meal in remembrance of him. But maybe what is surprising for us is what that meal actually looked like, and what that might mean for us as we share this meal every Lord's Day. So it's important for us to remember that Jesus and his earliest followers were Jews, right? It wasn't until late first century, early second century, that there was a definitive split of those of the Jesus movement and those of the movement of Judaism. As a result of Jesus and his earliest followers being Jewish, Christian worship, the worship service that we have, is deeply rooted in Jewish concepts and practices, like the concept that the saving power of a past event is brought into the present through reenactment. The concept that the saving power of a past event is brought into the present through reenactment. This is how our Jewish siblings celebrate their Passover meal, right? Just a little refresher. The Passover is the event in the book of Exodus when, after having been enslaved for hundreds of years in Egypt, God heard the cries of God's people and freed them from slavery. Now, certainly this story is much longer and more detailed than I can go into today, but after God freed the Israelites, God commanded them to celebrate the Passover event every year, forever. Thousands of years later, our Jewish siblings continue to celebrate the Passover yearly. And the Passover celebration is characterized by praise and joy and thanksgiving. And so this means that our modern Christian idea that Passover is like a funeral, or that it is a solemn event or a somber occasion, isn't accurate. This false understanding probably comes from movies and TV shows that we've watched. But the Passover celebration is so far from being a sad and sorrowful occasion. The Passover is a joyful celebration of God's redemption. It has always been a joyful event. And this is where it gets interesting. The remembering aspect of the Passover is not just the memory of it, or the cognitive recalling of a past event. I wish we had an alternative English word for this kind of remembering, because when we say remember, we think of digging back in the files of our brain to find some information. But that's not what we're talking about. This is a completely different kind of remembering. This kind of remembering is the present participation in the past event. So the ones celebrating and eating the Passover meal re-experience the past event in the present as if they were the very ones crossing the Red Sea. To remember the events in the Passover is to experience them anew in the present. And so think about how when the Israelites were getting ready to enter the Promised Land 40 years after the Passover, Moses spoke to that generation as if they themselves had been brought out of Egypt, when actually it was their parents and their grandparents who had been redeemed by God on that night. This kind of remembering, it's not simply a cognitive event or task. This kind of remembering is to experience the redemptive presence of God again, just as their ancestors did that night. Now, I know this is really hard to wrap our minds around. This is a sermon I've been wanting to preach for years, but haven't had the words and the ability to put it all together because it's really complicated, but it's also very powerful. So this kind of remembering, this kind of reenactment that Jesus and his disciples were participating in as they celebrated the Passover the night before Jesus' crucifixion, which again was not somberful, it was not solemn, it wasn't like a funeral, it was a joyful celebration. And in the Passover liturgy, there is a host, which that night was Jesus. And during the Passover and the celebration, Jesus as host would have given a homily during which he would have retold the redemptive story of the Passover. He would have interpreted it, and he would have helped the others who were participating in the celebration by participating in the celebration of remembering, apply the significance of the redemption in the present, in the here and now. But this particular night, the night of the Last Supper, this is where it's a little bit different. Because that night, as Jesus ate the last Passover meal with his disciples, he reinterpreted for them the meaning of the celebration of the meal in light of his death and resurrection. Because as we know, Jesus' death and resurrection changes everything. And so Jesus is reinterpreting them for them the meaning of this meal in light of his death and resurrection. And his words of institution emphasize that for his followers, which now include us, that this meal would now be emphasized, that this meal would remember his death and resurrection. Just like the Passover meal celebrates the saving work of God in the Exodus, not as a past reality, but a present reality, so the meal that Jesus instituted celebrates the saving work of Jesus, not as a past memory, but as a present reality. The Lord's Supper remembers, brings into the present, the redeeming work of Christ's death and resurrection, not as a past event, but as a present event, as if we were the very ones sitting around the table with Jesus that night, and as if we were the very ones who journeyed with Jesus to Emmaus and were there when he was revealed in the breaking of bread. In this kind of remembering, we give thanks and praise to God for what God has already done in Jesus and for what God is still doing in the present through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Because in this way, God has made the event happen again in the present. Now again, I know this is hard to wrap our minds around, and we know that there is so much more happening at this table than we can see with our eyes. But when we participate in this meal, when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," we are standing in the presence of what God has already done, and we are experiencing anew its saving power in the present. Yes, the Eucharist is a past event, and it's an event in the present, because our risen and living Lord Jesus Christ is at this table. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but after God's word is spoken over each element, we say, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then I bow. I bow in reverence and thanksgiving because at that point in the liturgy, the presence of Jesus has become part of the bread and the wine, and our risen and living Lord is in our midst. And so I bow, and you are invited to bow in reverence and thanksgiving to Christ, who is present at this table and in the bread and wine. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus' resurrection, is proclaimed in this meal because it is our host, our risen and living Lord Jesus Christ, who also offers himself to us as food. And he is present now, and he is revealed to us now in the breaking of the bread. You've heard me say this before, and I can't emphasize it enough. Communion, the Eucharist, is not a symbol. In this holy and sacred meal, we experience the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, just as the disciples did all those years ago. And when we come to this table and remember at this table, we're not just calling to mind what happened in the past. We are re-experiencing that past event in the present, as if we were the ones at that table 2,000 years ago. Whew, that's a lot to take in, is it not? It's a really hard concept to think about, to translate, to put words to. But it's incredibly powerful to know that that is what is happening at this table. Next week, we are going to explore how the earliest apostles and the followers of Jesus lived this out in their faith journeys and in their gatherings. What remembering looked like as they celebrated the Eucharist and as the Holy Spirit brought to them in the present moment the power of Jesus' redeeming work. And so, sisters and brothers, we come to this table Sunday after Sunday because the truth is we need Jesus. We come to this table Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because we need to hear over and over again the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is risen and alive and has defeated death forever. And we come not somberly or sorrowful as if we were at a funeral, because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. And our risen and living Lord is present at this table. The gift of God's redemption is here and now. So we come to this table with joy and praise and thanksgiving, because through remembering, through the reenactment, we experience the saving power of Christ now. So come and see and experience what God is doing in our midst. Come and see and feel and touch and hold the presence of the risen Christ in the bread and the wine in your hands. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.